And let's stay with the climate, because yesterday the Abbott government unveiled the details of its new penalty regime, basically the stick to the carrot of its direct action plan to try and cut greenhouse gas emissions. The so-called safeguard mechanism is what we've been waiting for. It's supposed to stop rogue companies from increasing emissions to counter reductions made elsewhere in the economy. The proposed rules are now open for industry consultation before the final plan is locked in next month, ready to start on the 1st of July next year. John Connor is the chief executive of the Climate Institute, just one of those who's been waiting for this safeguard mechanism to be revealed. John Connor, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Well, the Minister, Greg Hunt, says he's got the right balance here between the need for business flexibility and reducing emissions. Do you agree? Is that how you see it?
No, because I can't see any reducing emissions from this. It's more of a nerf ball than a stick. It's us and other analysts say that this will lead to increasing emissions. We've got here a system which is supposed to be a safeguard, which is neither a safe nor a guard. We've got a limits that are set here which allow for increased pollution. They look at a historical average over the past 5 years, and a company can pick the best of those years, i.e. the most polluting years. And there's a series of exemptions they can call for if they want to challenge and get that relaxed even further. So deeply concerned by this, which is the third key leg of the government's pollution platform.
Let's look at the first thing you mentioned there, because built in here is the important thing here is the baseline that things are measured against. That's the first brick to get right. And you and others are saying that they've got that brick wrong by allowing companies to pick the highest emission emitting year of the past 5 years. What's wrong with that? I mean, they had to choose some kind of level and some kind of time frame.
Well, the whole thing, remembering, we're supposed to be reducing our pollution if we're serious about tackling climate change, which the government, to its credit, says it is. However, and they've just released significant targets, which we still don't think are strong enough, but are actually not insignificant in terms of their reductions out to 2030. So we have to be reducing emissions, and one would have thought the best thing would to say, well, look, we know what company's best practice is. We know how low you can go. Let's start there, and then we start to work down as to how we can improve those situations. But the deeper problem with this is that we have much more uncertainty that's now been introduced into the system, because the government, in announcing its post-2020 targets, said, well, we're actually not going to come up with all the policies which drive that until a review in 2017. Announcement today has questions and considerations about international permits also in 2017, and we know there's going to be much greater reductions there. So we've got uncertainty, which actually converts into costs for industry, because there's a premium on investment.
When the government did release its post-2020 targets, though, of 26% to 28%, according to the graph it revealed, most of the delivery of those emissions cuts was going to be through direct action with the penalty scheme in place, the safeguard scheme in place. Can you see this safeguard scheme making it possible for the government to deliver on those targets?
No, I mean, that graphically illustrated the problem that government, and most particularly industry, now has. Is, yes, there was a sliver in a bar chart, which was the Emissions Reduction Fund as it is now, where taxpayers bear the responsibility. The government's there's now a box, then a box, which had that emissions reduction fund plus the safeguards, but that was five times bigger than that sliver, and the government said they'd use the same amount of money for the emissions reduction fund. So a much bigger proportion is to come from the safeguards in reductions, whereas we have this measure, which independent analyst at Reputech say will increase the sector's pollution by 20%, an increase in pollution because of the way these baselines can operate.
Can I just ask you that, John? How will it increase you might not like the baseline, you might think it's set too high and too liberally, being at the high point of the last 5 years, but at least it means that these polluters can't pollute above the level of the past 5 years without having to pay for it, doesn't it?
Well, I've said that at a very high level, and they do have mechanisms to come back and say, actually, can we increase our limits? So if they've increased production, then they can go back and argue because the emissions intensity might have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Miners can go back if they have to dig deeper for the ore to have their baselines request reconsidered. There's a number of other mechanisms like that, and the government itself said, well, we don't actually expect any revenue or any penalties to be paid, so it's doing exactly what it's designed to do, which is not have any impact.
Yeah, that line from the minister said, it's always been our commitment, we continue to budget zero revenue, it's our clear expectations that no businesses will pay penalties. Are you saying that the only way we were genuinely going to have proof of emission cuts was if there were penalties being paid here?
Oh, look, I'm not here to penalise, but it's actually about the companies taking responsibility and reducing their emissions, because the net sum of all of this, when we've got three legs of policy here from this government, it's a renewable energy target, which they've driven the reduction of, and then it's the taxpayer fund, the emissions reduction fund, which takes the burden of responsibility of reducing emissions, and that's where we fall back on in times when our budget deficit is under trouble. It's the budget which is paying for the emissions reductions, and it's not the polluters.
The government does say if a plant exceeds its overall baseline but the intensity ratio of emissions to what it produced falls, it'll get a temporary increase, and I can see why they'd argue that. But it also says if a facility goes over its baseline, the government will allow it to make good through measures such as purchasing carbon credits. Is that something akin to an ETS?
Well, it's a carbon market, that's right. You can buy in that, and that's where and we actually think that's a healthy thing if you've got a proper limit. This is the problem. It's a pretty weak limit we've got here. So we've called this rather than a safety net, it's an actual pollution trampoline. So, but you're right. This is setting up, and we think that's a good thing, and you actually can help business meet proper limits if we have them, that we can actually trade those either domestically here in Australia, and this process has opened the door to international trading to be reviewed in 2017.
Tell us more about that, because the Prime Minister has always ruled out allowing companies to purchase international carbon credits. The companies have been saying that's the key to them being able to lower their emissions. What does it say in this policy about access to international permits?
Well, it says that they might look at that and make that available after review in 2017. Now, look, there have been concerns with some international permits in the past, but we're talking about the planet here and the atmosphere, and it doesn't really care where emissions reductions come from, so long as they're properly regulated, and they've improved that over the past years. But the point is what we've got to get our reductions down. We've got to transform our economy. We've got to modernise our economy. We're the most pollution-intensive economies in the developed world. And we know that's a challenge. And international permits, which at the moment are relatively cheap, it might be a scarce resource, can help us as we make that transition, and we're okay with that. But it certainly shouldn't be a get-out-of-jail-free card for either the polluters or for our economy.
John Connor, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
John Connor is CEO of the Climate Institute, and later in the program we'll be joined by Independent Senator Nick Xenophon. He's been really keen on the government getting this penalty regime right and correct. It was one of the reasons that he agreed to back direct action. He said it needed to have a good, strong safeguard element within it. We'll get his reaction.